You're listening to The Leonard Lopate Show on AM 820 and 93.9 WNYC.
Hello, it's me, Phoebe Robinson. I'm here for the second hour of The Leonard Lopate Show, and I'm so excited for our next guest. Bitches Gotta Eat blogger Samantha Irby lays down some real hard emotional and other times humorous truths in her new book, which is a New York Times bestseller. Hello. It's called We Are Never Meeting in Real Life. It's a collection of 20 essays. Where she talks about having a difficult childhood and how that led to problems managing an adult budget. Believe me, I go through that too. A complicated love/hate relationship with her cat and how to navigate relationships with drinking buddies who have suddenly become suburban mothers. It's published by Vintage Books, and I'm pleased to bring Samantha Irby on. Hi.
Hi, Phoebe.
How are you?
I'm great. How are you?
Good. And just a little background for all the listeners. Samantha and I have never met in real life. We've talked on the phone, we've texted, Facebook messaged, Instagrammed each other. We have never been skin to skin or face to face.
I feel like that's how relationships in the future will exist.
Yeah. So how are you doing? You are, congratulations on the success of the book. I knew it was going to be a bestseller. It is so funny. I took it on a writer's retreat because I'm working on my own book. And yours was the only book that I brought with me.
Oh, my God.
And I was just cackling on the beach in Puerto Rico, just being like, this woman, she's a powerhouse. So how are you feeling?
Oh, man. I feel great. I like to keep my expectations pretty low because I don't like to be disappointed or humiliated. And so I did not know it was going to get the response that it has gotten.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's really cool. But I also am still really baffled when people are like, I read your book, and I'm like, how did you even hear about it? Like, it hasn't set in at all that, like, real people are reading it.
Right.
Which is kind of, like, a cool feeling. I never want to get a big head, other than, like, how it biologically exists anyway. but like, it's definitely been really humbling for, like, people tag me in pictures. They see people, like, reading it on the train and stuff, and that's amazing to me.
No, it's fantastic. I was in Portland this weekend. I was in Powell Books, and there's this woman, I think she bought your book, and she was like eating at like the Starbucks or whatever, and she was like flipping through it, and she was laughing. I was like, I know, Samantha. So let's talk about the book a little bit. So how did you come up with the title? It's also the name of the last line in the essay of your book. Like, so how did you come up with that?
So my editor and I were kind of going through, I had an idea of what I wanted to call it, but I mean, you know, you can't get married to any of your ideas when you're working with other people. Mm-hmm. And my editor was like, you know, like a running theme of your work is how you don't like to leave your house or talk to anyone. We should call it We're Never Meeting in Real Life. And I hadn't written the last essay yet. And so I was like, okay, we can call it that, but how can I make this work? And then I was sitting and thinking about it, and I was like, I'm going to write about how I hate meeting people, and most other people hate meeting people too,
mm-hmm.
even though, like, it's a function of being a human to have to interact with others. And then it just kind of brought the whole thing together, and like when we finally like put it all together, I was like, yeah, the theme of this, like, it fits sort of the theme of not meeting people. But it was totally my editor's idea. I wanted to call it Everything is Garbage. You know, like a hopeful, I really wanted people to like pick up the book and be like, I can get through another day. But she was like, yeah, maybe we shouldn't call it that.
I'm glad you changed that title, because the title of my book that I'm working on is Everything is Trash. So.
No, that's good. What I meant to say was I had an intuition that you were going to write a book called Everything is Trash. And so then I was like, I can't compete with Phoebe, so I'm going to call mine something else.
Okay, so as I said, this book had me cracking up from like page one. You open with the Bachelorette application. Real mm-hmm. quick, are you watching this season of The Bachelorette?
You know I am. I have fallen off.
Oh, my gosh.
I have to watch it, and I don't know if you feel this way, but I feel like you probably do. I feel very protective of Rachel because, I mean, I've never met her. I don't know her. I don't know her family. I don't know anyone she knows, but, you know, I'm like, if they do this black girl wrong, I will throw my TV through the window. So I'm watching it, but I also am like watching it like she's my daughter or something.
Yeah.
I'm like, they better not say anything messed up to her. So yeah, I am watching it. It makes me cringe.
Mm-hmm.
That show is so like awkward but great, but I do like cringe through the whole thing. I really want her to find someone worthy of her. I don't know that it's any of these people that she's dating on the show, but
yeah,
I mean, a few episodes behind.
Okay, I won't spoil anything, but I feel like the show is obviously so problematic on one hand. Like, it's very like heteronormative. It mm-hmm. has a very like antiquated view of like what it means to be a woman and how a man should profess his love and all that stuff. But there is, I will say, I never watched The Bachelorette. And then when I heard they were having a black woman on, I was like, all right, I can get into this, which is like such trash.
Yeah.
But what I think it is fascinating about the show is that as much as we all are like, this is insane, or like, why is this considered romantic? We're all like kind of every day force-fed these thoughts of like what's romantic, but when mm-hmm. we see it reflected in a reality show, we're like, that's crazy, I would never be into that. But
yeah.
yet a lot of times our dating lives very much contradict our opinions on like how crazy The Bachelorette is. Like, do you feel that way like in your own dating situations before you got married?
Well, I think like I don't know that I have ever been pursued. So the thing about The Bachelorette that I like is I do love to see people groveling and like really trying to woo someone. Like
mm-hmm.
I love that. I love that one person gets to stand there while everyone else is like, please choose me. Like, that is really my fantasy, is for people to just be like, I'm going to do all this stuff for you to think that I'm an interesting person. But like, when I was dating, I was never wooed in that way. All my relationships sort of started out as like, you know, we go to the same thing a lot. Do you want to meet up after the thing we go to? And then I'm like, yeah, sure. Okay. And then I get really excited. And it's like, well, we've been hanging out for a long time. Do you want to make it official? Like, it's never any like whisking me off to Paris or wherever they go on The Bachelorette. It's always like, I brought a bag of tacos over. Am I your boyfriend now? So like, for me, The Bachelorette, I mean, I know it's all fake and it's super easy to fall in love when like you have unlimited money and people are plying you with alcohol.
Mm-hmm.
But I do enjoy like the, like watching these like courtships that I certainly have never had.
Yeah, I feel the same way too. Like, I've had like a few like where the guy like properly like asked me out, but there's also been like I will just like initiate talking. And so I just think everything is so topsy-turvy now, so it's nice to have this kind of very structured way of like how things go. And you go to Geneva and you sit in a hot tub and then you like go to third base, and I really like that. So let's take a quick break and then we'll talk a little bit more about your book. How's that sound?
Perfect.
Okay, great.
Okay.
I'm Phoebe Robinson, and I'm back with Samantha Irby, one of my favorite writers in the niche. That's nation for all you people over 30. I'm 33, so I should like let it go, but I'm holding on with a death grip to my youth. So there are about 10,000 things I loved about your book, Samantha. But I have to say the absolute number one thing is your level of just brutal honesty about your own life, mm-hmm. about difficult situations that you went through in terms of your parents, about dating, about your anxiety, all these kind of things. So like what? I think for a lot of people, whether you're a writer or not, it's really difficult to be that vulnerable and self-aware. But you seem to do it with such an ease, or not, or maybe not even ease, just like you're so willing to go there. So how did you get to that place as a writer and as a person to be that open and honest and vulnerable?
I think when I first started writing, like, you inevitably meet people, right, who have read your stuff or know about you. And unless you're going to live in a bubble, people are ultimately going to find out the truth. Mm-hmm. Maybe not the whole truth, but if you lie about yourself, someone's going to find out. And I think it comes from... I was going to say lazy, but that's not the right word. I can't keep up a lie for too long, right? So, like, say I'm writing about my body, but I don't, like, tell you how big it is or, like, how my joints don't work or whatever. Then I basically have to hide. Otherwise, when I meet someone, they'd be like, what supermodel frame? You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So it's like, unless you're going to never talk to anyone, not have a job, not leave your house, I feel like when you're doing the kind of writing I'm doing, it's easier just to, like, be as honest as possible. Like, it makes things easier down the line. Like, I write a lot about having Crohn's disease, mm-hmm. which means, you know, I'm an always in the bathroom kind of guy. And it's just easier to be upfront with people and be like, listen, I'm going to have diarrhea 6 times during this meeting. Just ignore me when I get up and let myself out. And it's like, if you aren't that honest, then you're the person, like, in the meeting trying to hold in your diarrhea. And I never want to be. I can't live like that. I feel like for a time I did. I tried to, like, pretend everything was cool. But it really is just easier to tell people what's not cool. Mm-hmm. And usually they're 100% forgiving about it.
Oh,
so that's
great.
Like my sort of, like, I'm trying to just get everybody free enough to, like, say all their stuff in the beginning and then make life easier for yourself. Because, like, hiding things is hard. And I don't want to, you know, I don't want to do that. I don't want, life is already hard enough. I don't want to, like, also pretend that, you know, I don't pass gas.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
I know. My last relationship for the first 9 months.
Oh, no. Phoebe, don't say it.
I would never, ever farted around him. And I was always, and we would always, like, spend, like, 4 days together, like, long weekends together.
No.
And I would be like, see you later, bye. And I would, like, shove the apartment door closed and, like, run to the bathroom and take a giant poop. And I was like, this is not a way to live.
No, it isn't.
Yeah, yeah.
It is not. I remember once it was like a third date, spend the night kind of situation. And I hadn't been 100% upfront with, like, how things were going to go if we spent the entire night.
Yeah.
And at one point I had to go to the bathroom. It was the middle of the night and I ran the shower to sort of, like, hide the noise.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, it would have just been easier for me if I had just been like, I'm a normal human person who digests food and then has to evacuate that food. Forgive me for doing that in your house or whatever.
Right.
But, like, after that situation, I just started being upfront. And people are usually, I mean, okay. I don't, like, kick down the door and start, like, listing my flaws for people because I don't want to scare anyone. You know, I dumped it all on you in the beginning, you'd be like, man, dude, I cannot be friends with someone with this many problems. But I feel like it's it took a little bit for me to sort of get comfortable, and then no one like ran away in horror. So I was like, okay, I'll keep being honest with people.
Yeah, and in this book, you're very honest. You talk about your first experience having an anxiety attack, and you talk about dealing with depression, which I think is really important, because I think a lot of times in society, it's kind of become this false notion that anxiety and depression is really just something that happens to white people, and like that people of color, queer people, don't experience it as well. And so do you feel like opening yourself up in this book in this way is not only helping yourself, but also helping other people who feel like, oh, I guess this is something that I can now talk about that I didn't think I could before?
I hope so. I mean, I was definitely raised by, you know, the kind of strong black women who like really held up that strong black women thing. And, you know, when it seemed like indulgent to talk about my feelings or my sadness or things that like scared me. And so I spent a lot of time like bottling that up. And I feel like I can't be the only person who sort of grew up like that, or who, like, when you talk to like the people in charge of your life about therapy, they're like, what? That's something for people on TV. We don't do that. Your job is to go to school. How hard can going to school be? And so I feel like by writing about it, there's got to be somebody who's reading that and is like, yeah, me too. And I feel, again, I feel like if we just start talking about things, maybe there, you know, like I felt sort of weird writing about it because I was like, I'm not offering up a solution, right? Like, I'm not going to end this essay talking about how I'm fixed. And I just had to make a couple calls and go to an online therapist once, and then I'm all better. Like, that didn't happen. But I feel like just having the conversation can be helpful. And it's one of those things we've been taught that's, like, shameful or weak or something. And like, it's hard to reach out to someone and say, you know what, I am sad a lot. Can you help me process that? And sometimes, like, just letting the people in your life know that, like, listen, I'm overwhelmed. I'm under too much pressure. It's just enough to, like, get them to back off or help you or whatever, like, help you in whatever way that works for you. And so it was really important to me to, like, start having this conversation about myself instead of sitting around thinking, like, man, I wish we as a community could talk about, you know, how depressed we are. I was like, well, then I will start. You know, not that I'm the first ever black person to talk about being depressed, but I think it's especially important considering that I'm funny, and people are like, what do you got to be sad about? You have such a good sense of humor. And I'm like, yeah, that's only just a little part of it.
Yeah, absolutely. Another thing that you write about in your book that I'm always so, like, worried about how much to share, how much to not share, is like, you're very open about your sex life and the different relationships you have, and you know that you dated men and now you're married to a woman, and I like that it was just very matter of fact and not like, I think a lot of times hetero people want you to have this very much like, make this grand presentation about how you're queer and like how you discovered it, and you're just like, I'm not going to do that. This isn't, you know, I don't need a PowerPoint. This is my life, and this is who I date and sleep with. And so can you talk to us a little bit about Mavis? I like the way that you describe your relationship, and you guys seem so different on paper, but it works so well. So can you talk a little bit about that?
Yeah, we are very different in real life as well. I mean, she really does, like, have a garden out back and not watch TV, which, I mean, I didn't even know what those words meant when she said them to me. I was like, what is a garden? So, like, we are super different. I like to talk about, like, dating in a, like, I feel like people, like you said, it's always like a melodramatic thing. And I really like to write about my relationships, like the dirt and the grime of it, because I never want, and this is sort of a thing we're all living through now with like Instagram and Facebook and whatever, where people can sort of create these lives that may not be real. So, like, mm-hmm. I can take a picture of a pie she baked and you think, like, man, those two lesbians are just lesbianing it up, making pies, and everything's great. But, like, you know, then in the book I can be like, well, you know, these are the things we disagree on, or these are how, like, two people with very different approaches to life make that work together. I always just want to, like, take away the sheen. Like, I like to read, I read a lot of memoirs and stuff, and it makes me feel terrible when I think somebody is doing life better than I am. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, why can't I get it together? And so, like, now that I have this platform, I want to be like, listen, man, I have a book and everything, but, like, my wife yells at me for not putting, like, the dishes in the right place. You know? Like, New York Times bestseller who also balls up her socks in the laundry and gets yelled at about it.
I ball up my socks, too. You don't want to lose them.
I know. Learning to live with another person, I mean, I'll have to tackle this in the next book, but learning to live with another person has really been... No, see, this is the thing. No one tells you how weird it is.
Yeah.
Like, people act like you just get together and then everything's seamless, and now, like, I'm together, and I'm like, you know, I don't know where she puts my jackets. I don't know where my things are. So yeah. Nobody's writing that book, so I guess I have to do it.
Yeah. I can't wait for that book. But before we get out of here, I'm really excited because your first book, Meaty... You're currently developing that as a television show for FX with Jesse Klein and Abby Jacobson.
Yeah.
Can you tell us a little bit about where you are in the process right now?
Absolutely. At this very moment, I'm sitting in an office in Beverly Hills in
what
my
office?
Agent's office.
Who's your
at
agent?
UTA.
I'm with UTA.
Jason Richman is my agent.
Oh, no, I have Tim Phillips.
Oh, that is Jesse's agent.
That's
like,
boring for
cares?
Everybody. But
like,
look up Tim Phillips. He's hot. So look him up.
But we are here. They just walked in. I just saw them. We are here finishing up the pilot. I didn't know how, like, slow TV is. Mm-hmm. I thought, like, we sold it, and then, like, the next week we'd be, like, just making a show. And it doesn't work like that.
Yeah.
So we did one draft of the pilot, and now we're all together, like, breaking the story and writing the script for the second draft of the pilot. And then I think after that, cross your fingers that FX loves it. They're going to let us shoot it. And then I begin the shame spiral of watching someone pretend to be me on television.
Well, honestly, I can't wait for this show to happen. I'm going to say it is going to happen. I'm putting it out there into the universe. I'm so excited for your book.
Everybody do your chanting or whatever, you're praying, whatever you do.
Thank you for writing an amazing book. I love it so much. I'm so happy that it's so successful. And let's, like, make a plan to meet in real life.
Yes, please. And you name the place and I'll be there.
Okay, let's meet at Oprah's house.
Oh, yeah. Great. I believe she has a garden. You know, I'm an expert in gardens now.
Well, thank you so much for calling in. Enjoy the rest of your time in LA.
Thank you. Thanks for having me. Have a good day.
Thanks, you too. Bye.
Bye.
I'm Phoebe Robinson, and today for Leonard Lopate, I've just been talking to Samantha Irby, creator of the blog Bitches Gotta Eat, and on her latest book she wrote called We Are Never Meeting in Real Life. It's fantastic. Please pick it up if you haven't yet. Thank you so much for joining me today, Samantha.